Some of you probably already know, but for our Sunday morning class, we're going to be talking about how to study the Bible. And I kind of have it split up. They didn't really give me an end time, but I'm kind of assuming that since we're starting in the middle of April, you know, a quarter typically goes about 3 months or so. So I guess August, if my calculations are right, about mid to late August, whenever after people have come in from college and school and stuff, and then they'll probably be heading out about that time. That's just kind of the timetable, I guess, just in my mind. But the first half of the class, so for the first 4 or 5 weeks or so, I just want us to kind of talk about, well, today we're going to be talking about why we need to study the Bible. And in a couple of weeks, we'll just be kind of looking at questions to keep in mind to ask of the text, whether, again, we're preparing for some kind of devotional, whether we're just doing personal reading on our own. Sort of, you know, questions and things to consider to help us dig deeper into God's Word. This is going to be more of more than just, you know, we're not just going to be getting into like a Bible reading and, you know, you'll read like 2 or 3 chapters. Like, this is for, you know, okay, I was reading, you know, a chapter this morning and, you know, I was really just digging into the verses there, kind of digging into the historical background. We're going to look at some of that in the coming weeks. But then so that'll be the first half of the class. It's just sort of getting our minds thinking about preparing us for how to dig deeper into God's Word. And then the last half, I hope that perhaps if there's certain topics, certain passages that you kind of read across, I mean, you know, it's the Bible, especially prophetic language and stuff like that. It's just like, hey, what does this text mean? Sort of like, a Q&A. So we'll kind of break it down the following weeks and kind of just look at passages and how to go about interpreting them, understanding them, you know, sort of taking all the things that we've learned in this first half of the class and sort of applying them to, you know, passages or questions that you might have. So I hope that, you know, the first half will be very kind of, kind of like a mental exercise and just, like I said, thinking about how to study the Bible. And then the latter portion will be more practical. Okay, let's take this verse and really break it down. And, you know, what are the implications of this? How does this affect us today in Scripture, things of that nature? So I'm really excited for this class. I've been thinking about it a lot and really just excited to finally get here today, to be here in class and to begin this study. So I think it'll be very good and very beneficial for all of us. There are still things that I still, you know, try to, you know, whenever I'm going through to present a sermon or something, you know, whenever I study a text, there are still things that these kind of things that I'm still trying to concrete in my mind to kind of get into a process of like, okay, I need to break this down. And, you know, how do we, you know, dig deeper and to see what God has revealed to us. It's just an important exercise, not so much as a preacher or teacher. Of course, that's important, but as Christians as well. And it goes far more than just because, you know, you're a teacher or whatever the case may be. So so this morning, we're going to talk about why study the Bible. Why should we study the Bible? I've got a few here, but what are some that just kind of come to mind in general? Why should we study the Bible? Why is it important? Why should it be studied?
To grow and to review,
absolutely. To grow how?
In like knowledge, your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. To grow, to understand more, to be able to know more about God, to know more about what God's Word says. Why might that be beneficial?
I mean, so you'll grow to be stronger and then actually apply it throughout your life.
Absolutely, yeah. To grow to be stronger, we want to have a stronger faith. We want to be able to have, I think, the faith of Abraham. Whenever God, you know, commanded him to sacrifice his son Isaac, that Abraham had the faith. You know, he knew that Isaac was going to be the one who was going to essentially give Abraham the great inheritance. So whenever they go up on the mountain, you know, Abraham had the faith that, okay, God wants me to sacrifice my son, but this son is also going to bring about you know, the promises of a great nation. How Abraham had the faith and said, you know, these two things sort of seem to clash, and But he still had the faith to say that, that the boy and I will return from the mountain. So he knew that God was going to somehow, if he was going to sacrifice his son, God was going to be able to raise him. We see that later on in Hebrews, that he was able to reason himself. So we want to grow and have a stronger faith. What else?
I mean, it's the only thing we have of, like, the Word of God. Like, there's no other text. There's no other, this is our only resource.
Absolutely.
We need to know it.
Yeah. It's God revealing himself to us. And there are many today who, you know, they'll claim that, the Spirit put on my heart this or that. It's like, okay, well, how do you know that was directly coming from a spirit? I mean, especially if it is something that contradicts the Bible. You know, like you said, we have, it's how God has revealed himself today. It's not in any other book that we need. It's not some sort of feeling or tugging on the heartstrings that, inspires us. It's going to God's word. And so it's the ultimate resource to learn about spiritual matters, to learn about God, and to learn about, things that are going on sort of in the spiritual sphere. But ultimately, it's a guide to you can think about it as a guidebook to life. It's the Creator revealing himself to the creation and how what he expects for us to live in that regard. So absolutely, it's a revelation of God. What else?
Which is very applicable to our lives. Like, absolutely. We always find whatever we're going through can probably be found in the Bible.
Absolutely.
It's very comforting.
Yeah, I was having a conversation one time with a friend, and we were talking about the Bible, and he said, you know, it's interesting, this book that's thousands of years old, like even like back in the, like the Psalms or the Proverbs, it's like they were written so long ago, but yet you can still find principles and application. You can still find, essentially it's timeless, it was written a long time ago, but those things still apply today. So it's absolutely, it's applicable to our lives. It helps us to tells us how to live our life. And it ultimately, whenever we have life's problems, many times we can come to the Bible and find the answers. We can see perhaps somebody who went through a similar difficult trial, and we can sort of learn from them how they went through that process. How was it that it increased their faith, that it caused them to rely on God even more? So absolutely. What else?
Well, it's how we show ourselves approved.
Yeah.
We study. Because, if you have a conversation with someone who's not a member of the church, it kind of looks bad if we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I know I was reading one book a few years ago. I can't remember what it was. But it was talking about, how some people, if you haven't read the whole Bible, that's not a bad thing. It's good to do that. But, some people will use that against you. You believe in the Bible, but you haven't even read the whole Bible. So, what are you, do you actually believe it? So it's just kind of a way, to help spread the gospel and show ourselves approved is by studying.
Yeah, absolutely. Why would somebody trust us to either ask a religious question, ask a question about the Bible if we haven't studied it for ourselves? Perhaps our answer might be, Bill said this, or this commentator or this big name person in the church, this was his response to that. But it's but I can also back it up with scripture and making sure that, if you see this account in Acts, we can see this principle. So to be able to be approved, especially to be approved of God, we have kind of a list here that we'll kind of go through, but as we're still kind of just brainstorming, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But being approved of others, that they, they can ask us a Bible question, we can give them a good, solid response that is backed up biblically, they're going to come to, that's going to be inspiration for them to come to us more and ask questions and, have you looked at these verses or have you looked at, this? So it's a good way to build trust with others, in the world with people who might have different beliefs than we do, to show them that we know what the Bible says, and we know that we know it by, I was going to say by heart, but that we know, you know, the general principles and things, and that we can, you know, maybe if we need to take some time, you know, it's like, I don't have the answer right away, but let me do some studying a little bit and then get back to you on that. That is totally acceptable. And I find myself, you know, there are a lot of times that I'll just get stumped with a question. I'm like, give me about a week to like go out to my office and just like study hard on that subject for a little bit. And then let me get back to you on that. It's totally, totally fine. So that's a, that's another good reason to sort of be approved of others, sort of build trust, especially as we want to evangelize, we want to bring them the truth, we want them to obey the gospel as well. Any others?
I mean, it tells us to. I mean,
yeah.
It tells us to read, you know, so.
Absolutely.
God commands us to.
Yeah, I think about Deuteronomy 6 all the time, just how much they were to talk about the law, how much they were to talk about God in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. Whenever they went out traveling, they were to talk about God's law. They were to, you know, impress it on the hearts and minds of their children. I mean, we see a great principle there of how much we are to be dedicated to studying God's word, to be, especially as we get older, we have children, to impress it on their hearts and on their minds. You know, that this isn't just mommy and daddy's belief. This isn't just grandma and grandpa's belief, but this is what the Bible actually says. And to kind of go along with that, we can use it to detect error as well. We, you know, again, I know some people who've been brought up in the church, and you know, they might have a friend with a different background and belief, and they're kind of like, man, they just, you know, they don't really, you know, I'll point them to these passages and they're like, yeah, you know, I understand that's what God says, but my pastor over at this church says this, or my parents always taught me that this was the truth, or this was the case. So how important it is to, again, to be able to back up what we believe and what, you know, sharing the truth with others based on God's word, to detect error, to be able to realize, you know, maybe there was like a red flag or two that kind of popped up when they made that statement. It's like, let's study this a little bit further, shall we? So that's another reason. Any others that kind of come to mind?
Well, we're not going to know how to get to heaven if we don't.
Absolutely. It's the only way that we know about salvation.
Yeah.
You think about, if we didn't have the Bible, how would we be able to know about sin? How would we be able to know that we are in a lost state and what to do to be saved if we didn't have the Bible? There are many in the world today who preach different forms of salvation, and the Bible is pretty clear that there's one way to be saved, and you know, to come to Scripture, to know about sin, to know that sin is lawlessness. We have fallen short of God's glory. You know, there might be from time to time, you know, we might feel guilty because perhaps we told a lie, or, you know, there might be some kind of twinge of grief perhaps. But ultimately, you know, the Bible tells us what to do to be saved. It tells us of our sinful state. It's the full revelation of Jesus Christ, his mission, what he came to do on this earth. So that's another great reason as well to study, so that we can know what to do to be saved. Absolutely. Any others? All right. What kind of, well, like I said, y'all got most of these definitely right off the bat. So most of these will kind of just be a little bit of a review, but of what we've already said, so I won't try to belabor the point. But we need to study God's word because it is the word of God. It, again, is the creator revealing himself to us, to creation, to his created ones. And so by it, we learn about God, about who he is. And ultimately, you know, the big questions of life, where do we come from? What happens after we die? I mean, the Bible gets to the heart of all of those answers to those questions. And essentially, you kind of think about it, it's God's autobiography to us. It reveals, he reveals himself to us. He reveals that he is a loving God, full of compassion, full of mercy. But then there's also a side in which we've talked about in Wednesday nights in Bill's class that God is holy. And so there is a high standard and expectation that he has. And so because of that, you know, that there is a, that he's going to ultimately punish sin and he is going to judge sin, that there is also, you know, that there is also the wrath of God as well. He wants to shower us in love. He wants to shower us in good things. We see in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, time and time again, he blesses them. He gives them the land of Canaan, but later on, you know, they begin to worship other gods. They begin to go off into idolatry. And so because they do not repent, they don't repent and come back to God. Ultimately, God has to punish sin and he has to punish that lawlessness. So it's God's revealed word to us. We could think about 2 Peter chapter 1, 21. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God. So they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We have a Holy Spirit inspired passage here that, you know, ultimately the Bible was, it was written by God. He used men, he inspired men through the Holy Spirit to write it. But you know, there are many who say, well, I remember one time when we were at a door knocking campaign, and this guy just kind of on the street just kind of came up to me and was like, you know, I just think that the Bible was written by, you know, some really smart guys back in the first century. They were all kind of like around a campfire, and it was like they all had like these really great ideas. And so he was like, you know, these big smart guys, they just got together, they wrote the Bible, and now they, you know, all of this has continued on. And I was like, and then he just kind of left after that. I was like, all right, we'll see you. And he just rode off on his bicycle. I was like, all right, well, I didn't know quite where that conversation was going, but he was, you know, he started off asking, like, you know, do you believe that things that are wrong in the world, that there's like continued like violence and it's an increase? I was like, yeah, I would say, you know, maybe to an extent, but we're not at the point of in Rome when the gladiators, you know, that we're not feeding people to the lions and we're not like, you know, just out killing each other. I was like, you know, that happened back in the day. So I mean, to a point, and then he just kind of got around to his point. He's like, well, I say all that because I just think the Bible was written by men and they were all really smart. It's like, yeah, they were smart because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Again, it's his way to communicate with us and explain who God is. We think about Jesus is also, you know, as the word of God, the expression. You know, if God took on flesh, became a human being, how would God act in a human, in the world, in a human setting? Jesus is the full expression of God as well. John 1, 17 through 18 bears that out. He says, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So even back during the creation of the world, Jesus was there. He is God. He was with God in the beginning, being the Word of God. And so when he came to earth, he was that full expression of God as well. So we need to study God's Word because it is God's written communication to us. It is his autobiography. We learn about him through it. Abby mentioned earlier that we wouldn't know what to do to be saved otherwise, so we need to study the Bible because of salvation. We learn about our sinful state, and God has given us, you know, God desires for all men to repent. He desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And he wants, you know, he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants all men everywhere to be saved. And ultimately, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in order to have faith, in order to increase in knowledge, we need to know God. We need to know the word of Christ. We mentioned this earlier. We also need to be able to prove all things. Prove all things. That being, we need to prove what we believe and why. We also need to test what other people believe, whether or not, you know, there are some who might be right on a topic, and they also could be completely wrong on a on another subject. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22 says, "Test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Again, we should be able to come to God's word, to study it, and to realize that, what's up?
What chapter verse?
Oh, sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22. Yeah, if I get going fast, feel free and ask. I'll repeat it again. So to be able to prove all things, to prove not only what we believe, but also to try and determine truth from error that is out in the world as well, from what others might say or believe. So we see this idea of testing throughout the Bible to be able to hold, again, hold fast to what is good. But ultimately, we need the scriptures to find these things out for ourselves. It's not just enough that, you know, well, my grandpa, he was a member of the church and he believed this. You know, if it's contradictory to scripture, then, you know, if it contradicts, or if it doesn't even come from scripture, you know, false is false. You know, truth is truth, and what is false, so we have to be able to make sure that the things that we believe, again, are inspired by God, that they come from His Word, and ultimately that they don't contradict other passages of scripture. I know that's where a lot of denominations have gone into trouble, because they, you know, they'll look at a passage and they'll either believe that, you know, the Bible is full of contradictions, and so then on one hand, you know, they'll say that you know, grace is what saves, and grace is a part of salvation, but then there's others who will swing to the other end of the spectrum. It's not grace, it's faith. And there are some others who will kind of, not even in the middle, it'll just be like its own other area. It's like, it's not, well, yes, grace, or not even faith, but works is what saves. And it's just kind of all over the spectrum. So we need to be able to know the truth, and to be able to you know, compare it with other teachings, to know what the truth is, to know truth from error. Abby mentioned earlier approval, but ultimately we need to be approved of by God. We want approval from God, and so we want to study His Word. We want to not only study it, but we also want to do it, make it active and alive in our lives as well. Seeking approval is a vital aspect of life because of how it positively motivates us to improve ourselves without our needing any immediate reward. You think of, you know, for an example, you know, you get into a new relationship, you really want to work at, you know, really impressing that boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, you want to be able to impress them. So in a way, they sort of, having that approval of them and that relationship, it motivates you to perhaps, you know, work on a certain set of skills or something of that nature, perhaps a character quality that that they sort of bring out in you, that you want to work on more, being, you know, approved of other people. Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and man. So we see Jesus in Luke 2, that was after Jesus was in the temple when he was 12 years old. So he, you know, he had studied, and he was sort of stumping the priests of that day. He was stumping the teachers with his questions and was sort of impressing them, and they were asking him questions. It's a beautiful scene, but we also see it kind of, Luke ties it in there at the end, that Jesus increased in stature and favor with both God and man. So we could, we should be able to do the same. 2 Timothy 2:15, if somebody wants to read that for us. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue. That's First Timothy.
Whoops. Oh, I was like, what? Salvation passage for women. They need to bear. No, no, I'm just kidding.
She's one chapter after First Timothy.
Chill out. Why don't you read the
verse right there, bud?
Okay. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Absolutely. So there is a sense in which we are workers for God. You know, he specifically is writing this to Timothy, who was a preacher. And so, you know, the principle is still the same. We want to be approved of by God. We want to be able to, again, that concept of rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't want to, you know, in addressing error, perhaps swing too far to one side. But we want to make sure that what we are believing and what we are teaching to others is it rightfully divides the word of truth. So we have to put the pursuit of God first and foremost in our lives we have to pursue God first and foremost in our lives so that way that we can ultimately, so that we could ignore, in a sense, what others might want for us. Like, we've got friends or something, or somebody who wants to, hey, you know, why don't we go out to the bar tonight and hang out? It's like, well, you know, I'm trying to get my life, I want to be approved of God. I want to make sure and be heading the way that he wants me to, so that ultimately, you know, it's like, well, I feel bad because I'm letting my friends down. It's like, well, you know, I'm on the upward trail. I'm trying to do what is right by God. And even our own inclinations, you know, if there's, you know, something that tempts us, if there's something that we want to do, or maybe watch a movie, but perhaps it's rated R for a lot of violence or for a lot of like language or situations or things like that, we need to have the mindset that, you know, would God approve of me watching this, or would God approve of me putting myself in a situation that could be harmful, that could be sinful, and ultimately resolving like Daniel to put God's word, to put God's law first in our hearts whenever, you know, Daniel and his friends were taken into Babylon, and, you know, they were given the king's, they were given his feast and the different meats and the wines, and Daniel and his friends said, you know, no, like, give us vegetables and things of that nature so that they wouldn't sin against God and their dietary restrictions. Brooke mentioned this earlier, in order to grow spiritually, we need to continue and study God's word. And again, it's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just following some sort of yearly Bible reading plan, but it's actually taking time to really kind of dig in to God's word, to you know, to understand and to perhaps even look up what the different Jews believed. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had two completely different ways that they looked at Scripture. The Sadducees, they only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament, the Law of Moses. They didn't believe in the historical narrative. They didn't believe in the prophets. They strictly stuck with what Moses wrote in Genesis through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. First five, Genesis to Deuteronomy. And the Pharisees, they believed in the first five books. They believed in the historical narratives, the Psalms, the prophets. They believed in all of that. So it can be helpful, and it can help us grow in our knowledge to be able to look up, you know, those differences. And whenever Jesus kind of has clashes with them from time to time, as he did, to kind of get a better understanding of why there was such a difference in interpreting the law of Moses. Spiritual growth requires more than just attendance and being able to quote a few passages or reading a commentary from time to time. Ultimately, it requires, again, deeper thinking on the character of God It requires thinking in spiritual terms with spiritual concerns. I did not mean to rhyme that. It requires us to reorganize our lives to have spiritual priority. And again, to as Brooke also mentioned, to apply it to our lives, it requires spiritual application as well. What's up?
She's got two right. She's got two right. We're going to struggle.
It's like as I'm remembering them, I'm like, oh yeah, who said this? Okay. No, James 1:22 says what? James 1:22.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Absolutely. So even if we come, we listen to, you know, we come Sundays and Wednesdays, we come and we hear the word of God, but if we never actually put it into action, if we never let it sort of control our lives, control our thinking, ultimately we're not doing ourselves any good, are we? Again, James says, you know, don't just be hearers of the word, but actually become doers as well, to be able to put it into practice. And it also takes takes commitment to do those things as well. Let's see here. It's 10:11. Okay, so we still got another, 10 minutes or so? Yeah. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. Somebody might have said this. I don't remember. Number 6, in order to teach others... We did kind of mention that, sort of with the approval of others, to be able to sort of gain their trust whenever they ask us questions. You know, we have the commandment of the Great Commission to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, to make and create disciples. But we also see in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So the Hebrew author is kind of, you know, rebuking his Hebrew audience that at this point they should have had plenty of teachers. They should have been able to have plenty of people to go out and to teach God's word, but rather instead they had regressed to the point that they needed to go back over the basics. I mean, I'm talking about like baptism, the one church. They needed to go back and to cover the basic stuff before they could go on to deeper things. And he talks about later on the connection between Jesus and Melchizedek. And how, you know, that was kind of a deep, a cool topic that I really enjoyed whenever we were in taking a Hebrews class. But also because of the fact that one of the qualifications of elders is to be able to teach. So there is always this need for teachers of the gospel, not just the plan of salvation, but to be able to teach God's word is paramount, because if we don't continue and grow in our spiritual knowledge, who's going to teach the next generation? Who is going to be the next leaders of the church to be able to, you know, continue and have these qualities if we never study the Bible for ourselves, if we don't grow spiritually, if, you know, we have this responsibility to get to the point in our Christianity, to get the point in our faith where we're able to teach others as well. And so I'm hoping that, you know, as we go through this series of lessons on how to study the Bible, that, you know, I think it'd be cool one day if, you know, maybe we had, you know, some public speaking classes or something, and we had like, you know, we could do some lessons or some devotionals, you know, just whenever we get together at somebody's house, we could have kind of a rotation of people doing devos and kind of, you know, again, putting into practice these things that we're talking about. You know, I was talked with Bill one time about, you know, if we had a couple of guys who maybe wanted to give like a 10-15 minute sermon, and then we could also have like a ladies' day or something, that so that the women could also have that opportunity to speak and to get that practice as well. So, I mean, I just think it'd be really cool. And I mean, again, it's just stuff that we have to work on and to grow in. But that'll be another conversation for another time. So kind of to sum up, in conclusion, the things that we've been talking about, developing and growing in knowledge takes time and discipline in order to grow, but we should be diligent to do so. Again, trying to sort of wrestle with a passage, even though it might be difficult, try to figure it out on our own first before we, go and ask a question, like go ask Bill a question or consult a commentary, to be able to try and kind of struggle with it on our own. We'll reap better rewards and better benefits than sort of just taking it. It's easy to kind of just knee jerk and take an easy way out. And to ask somebody, you know, what their opinion on the passage and what it teaches. But ultimately, in order to... Hello? I don't think that was that door. In order to study the Bible, we must renew our commitment to thinking and exercising our minds accordingly. There are many distractions today. Social media, TV... there's all sorts of things, but making sure that we are taking time each and every day to study God's word, whether it's just a few verses or whether it's we have the time to read a chapter and kind of study it and break it down, whatever we have, to make sure that we are using our time diligently. I think Paul said for the days are evil, to make the best use of our time. And ultimately we have so much to gain by studying and understanding the scriptures, and so much to lose by failing to do so, because ultimately eternity depends on it. And God has given us this high calling to study his word, to teach it to others. Somebody look up Acts 17:11 for me real quick. This is kind of I want this to sort of be our theme for this class, and really always as we study the Bible. Acts 17:11, and if somebody would read that for me, please.
Now
these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
All right, so context. Paul has just been in Thessalonica teaching for about 3 weeks. This Jewish mob gets essentially Paul and some of the other brethren that were with him teaching. They get them kicked out of Thessalonica, and they go just a few miles down the road to Berea. And so kind of our theme for the class, I want us to be Berean. And ultimately the principle there that, you know, they heard Paul's preaching. A lot of that would have, you know, they searched the scriptures to see that these things were so. Ultimately, that would have been the Old Testament from Moses on to the prophets. They tested whether or not the things that Paul was saying, whether or not it was true, based on the passages he was quoting, based on the prophecies that he was might have been referring to in his preaching about Jesus and who Jesus was as the Messiah. Ultimately, the purpose of this class, we want to be Berean. We want to make sure and study the Word of God to make sure that, you know, whether I say something or Bill says something or if Roy says something in a Devo, we want to be able to make sure and to know ultimately the truth for ourselves, to be able to do that. So I'll just leave that the theme up there. We'll read it perhaps, you know, the first few weeks or so each time, because again, that's kind of what our focus. We want to be Berean, and we want to study God's word and to make sure that these things are so. So with that, we'll conclude with a prayer. Do we have any prayer requests that we want to mention before we do so?
My uncle.
Yeah.
His name's Danny. He had
Cunningham, right?
Yeah. Danny Cunningham. He's doing a lot better, but it's still in the hospital. Good. So
yeah, absolutely. So Danny Cunningham. Anybody else?